B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It was fourth grade. I had just gotten done watching the Nets in the finals. And when I knew that this is a dream that I want to fulfill, I had to manifest it. I had to go get it. I had to put in my time. I had to put in my hours. I had to relentlessly work on a craft and do it with a passion and love that no one could take away from me.
My name is Ho, H to the O-V. I used to move snowflakes by the O-C. I guess even back then you can call me CEO.
Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe is with us here in studio in our Town Fair Tire Studios at 98.5 The Sports Hub. Party in for Zoe today on Zolak and Bertrand. Hi, Dan.
Hi,
Dan. Oh, your mic's not on. Hold on.
Getting a lot of switches here.
Yeah, we've had some technical issues here that we're working through in the studio. How are you? How you doing? Good?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm excellent. Excellent. What'd you think of Kyrie going to the Brooklyn Nets?
Well, by the time it happened, it was so old, it was like he already played there 2 years. But, good luck to him.
Like, of all the places, though.
I know.
Brooklyn.
Well, there is a little bit of amusement about how we've been laughing at the Nets all these years after the Danny's, swindled them and all this stuff, and then he goes there of all places. But yeah, I want him out of my life. He was such a jackass.
They're now in a better spot than the Celtics.
Moving forward?
Yes, moving forward.
Okay.
Assuming that, well, Kevin Durant is somewhat close to the Kevin Durant we know.
I feel it's like the Cleveland Browns. I feel the net effect will take hold.
We hope.
Yeah.
We all hope. And we hope that the Kyrie effect takes hold.
Right.
Right? Don't we all root for that now? Don't you hope for absolutely. Kyrie to be a complete disaster there?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you hope for him to be the same, sort of negative impact and have that same thing happen there that happened here? Assuming we have it right and that he was a major part of the problem?
Right. It's just there's two sides to this, Beetle, and you sit here every day, and I know where maybe not where I'm going, but what I'm going to say is, it bugs me a little bit to see the reinvention of the Green Teamers that now they're better off, and the ceiling is not as high now. So, what kind of an NBA team do you want? I wanted the team with the high ceiling, which they had, and now the ceiling has been lowered, and we're back to 2 or 3 years ago. The little engine that could, Isaiah Thomas, all this stuff. I mean, I hope Walker's more than that here, but I'm a little worried. And he's not a better player than Kyrie Irving, and you are not better off with him than without him. I mean, again, if Irving was going to play like he can play. Now, none of that happened, I understand. But I was more looking forward to their season last year than I am this year, before I knew that Kyrie was going to do what he did and poison the whole well and be such a jackass. I was thinking, okay, Celtics going to be in the NBA Finals. It's going to be great. Remember how that felt a year ago? And now it's like it's back to
distant memory now.
I know,
Dan.
But now it's
a year
back
later,
to
distant
this
memory.
Is actually better. And they'll play together. They'll like each other. And Walker will be like Isaiah, and he'll be this great guy coming and smiling every day, and all this stuff like that. Well, it just doesn't light me up the way the other thing did. It just doesn't. I mean, you're with me on this.
I'm absolutely with you.
Yeah.
Not only that, the entire Eastern Conference has no shot. None. None. Forget it. I mean, you're in the Eastern Conference. And I know that I think it hurts. And I hated to see Al Horford go to Philadelphia.
That was huge.
And it's a big swing in terms of how the balance goes in the Eastern Conference. And at the end of the day, the swing in the Eastern Conference doesn't mean anything.
But now
because no matter who it is,
no.
Assuming that, there is a decent level of health with the Lakers. And I think the Lakers are a little bit vulnerable, although they keep adding depth pieces and veteran pieces that every time they do it, I say, ooh, that's a good player. Yesterday, yeah. Avery Bradley. I say, that's a good veteran ad for them. They just keep adding players that you look at and say, oh, good little piece they added there. They just keep adding good little pieces. And so I look at the Lakers and I look at the Clippers and I look at the Warriors and I look at the Western Conference and say, wow, they're just stacked with good teams over there. And whoever it is coming out of the East, they're going to get squashed like a bug. They got no shot.
But we would still take getting in the finals. I mean, that would be pretty
absolutely
cool.
They that should strive cool. for that, and they should want to be there, and that would be great, and that's what you're in this for. But right. I don't look at the Celtics like they're the best team in the East, because they're not.
Well, it's now a five-team jumble. You know, it's allegedly, and I still think Milwaukee and Philly are significantly better than you are. I do.
I don't see the Celtics having a way of getting by either of those two teams right now.
And then you got, you know, Jersey, Indiana, and them, right? I mean, that's pretty much it.
If all of a sudden Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum become significantly better players,
yep.
then you've got a different story. And that's possible.
Sure.
We all leave that open as a possibility.
It's possible.
Right?
And you have to, you know, reestablish Gordon Hayward somewhere close to, you know, what we thought he was going to be. The problem is with Gordon Hayward, you know, away from Utah, we never got a chance to see it. We still haven't had a chance to see it. We're coming up on 2 years now. We still haven't seen Gordon Hayward as a Celtic and anywhere close to what we thought it was going to be.
We've seen like brief little flashes of it. We're like, ooh, that's the Gordon Hayward from Utah. And then it's.
But for every vanishes. One of those flashes, there was, you know, him not willing to drive in the paint and looking to dish the ball outside, or, you know, sitting out an entire season due to injury. So it's now incumbent upon, like you said, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum ramping back up after Tatum had a bit of a plateau season. He's got to ramp up again.
Yep.
Brown has to get better, and Hayward has to continue his comeback. And if all that happens, you put yourself in the conversation of being the best team in the East. But it's not like it's clear-cut established like we thought it was going to be at the beginning of last season. We put him into the NBA Finals last year.
Well, they had gotten to Game 7 the year before, and they didn't have Irving and Hayward. So
right. It
was automatic. Made sense. Done.
So we just wanted to throw that in the mix. Reaction to NBA free agency. We've been talking about it for weeks now, and we want to continue to throw that into the mix. 617-779-0985. Want to talk some baseball with you today, Dan. Can I put you on the spot for a second, Dan?
Sure, Peter.
Do you know the news about Nick Cafardo today?
What's official?
He is a finalist for the Spink Award.
That's official.
That is official. It's out there.
I had some, yes.
So you had the inside scoop on that.
I had some whispers about that.
You must
today.
Be happy to learn that news.
We've worked, yes. He was put forward by the Boston chapter. That's what has to happen, is that there's, I think, 24 chapters or whatever, and chapters can nominate a candidate. So we work to nominate Nick, and there's a three-person committee, I believe, that vets the nominees and then puts three people on the ballot. So you're telling me he's one of the three. Do you know who the other two are?
It has been reported. It's been out there. Hold on.
Good stuff. Fresh.
Yeah, this has been reported by a number of the writers who just put it out that Cafardo was a finalist. The other two are Jim Reeves and Patrick, is it Roos?
Royce.
Of
Minnesota. I like both Patrick. I really like Patrick Royce a lot, and Jim Reeves I like a lot. He was a reporter he covered the Texas Rangers for the Fort Worth Star Telegram, and Royce's been a columnist in Minneapolis for 1,000 years, not as long as Sid Hartman, but a lot of years. And now we have Nick Cafardo, so I think we have a good chance that Nick will be announced at the winter meetings, which is in December, first or second week in December. And next year in Cooperstown, the hope would be from our end that Nick Cafardo is honored in Cooperstown, where he belongs.
All right, so that is the news on Nick Cafardo today. He has been named as a finalist for the Spink Award for induction into the Writers' Wing at the Baseball Hall of Fame. Dan Shaughnessy is with us. We will talk some baseball with him coming up.
All right. Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody.
Well, here is Nathan Eovaldi. Struck him out. Bellinger down to start the eighth. Bellinger struck out. Turner reaches for it. Checks on Bogarts. Good play. Two out. Kelly to Eovaldi. To Kimbrel. Fly ball into left. Easy for Benintendi. And the Red Sox bullpen outstanding tonight.
Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, is with us. 617-779-0985. Nathan Eovaldi is going to be the Red Sox closer. That should get you fired up, Dan. Should make you excited.
I don't know.
I don't know about that.
I think they're going to acquire Zach Wheeler.
And then what?
I mean,
make him the closer?
No, I guess he goes in a rotation, which I don't know.
Isn't that their corresponding move to make Nathan Eovaldi the closer?
I really thought the Eovaldi thing was a smokescreen. I mean, they come back from London, and they have the off day, and they announce Eovaldi is the solution to what we just saw and all these struggles. Oh, here's what we're going to do. And I just don't believe it. But if they acquire Wheeler, I suppose that is what they're going to do. I don't think it's a good fit. I don't think he wants to do it. And he was 2 weeks away when they announced it, which no one made anything about. I mean, you're drowning now, and you announce, oh, we got this fixed, a guy who's 2 weeks away. So he's still a week away. And if he makes it to that, I don't know. So we're going to see him after the Dodger series? I don't know. But I just disputed that we'd ever see that. I know he throws 98, throws 100, great. So everybody's like, oh, great closer. Oh, he did it in the postseason. No, he didn't. He pitched a full game in relief. He came in and pitched six innings, threw 97 pitches.
Right.
That's not closing.
No, not closing. And not only that, he's got multiple elbow surgeries.
He doesn't want to do it. He had chances.
In the last 2 years.
There were teams talking to him about doing this before he signed with the Sox. He got the barrel of money with the Sox, but he does not want to do it. And there's quotes. Go back and look at him. I think it was December he was asked about it. No, I don't want to do that. You know, I'm a starter.
Yeah, no, he actually has quotes from the offseason in which he said he does not want to do that.
No. Now you're making him do something he doesn't want to do. He's had two Tommy Johns. He's not used to throwing on a regular, you know, every day after day, 3 out of 4 days, whatever. He's a young guy with at-risk guy to start with. He has no interest in this. And he's got his money. There's no motivation. This is not the life that he wants. This is not the life that he thought he was
choosing.
Which,
if you're trying to make a decision in the best interest of the long-term health of Nathan Eovaldi, what the hell is this team doing?
I mean,
if you're trying to protect your own asset in this, and that is Nathan Eovaldi and the future of Nathan Eovaldi, which you have now locked yourself into, what are you doing?
Yeah. And again, and even Dave Dombrowski, to the point where he would not say it was desperation. It was urgency. Like, they're the same word, basically.
Do you know what I start to wonder? Because is this Dave Dombrowski's call?
Well, tell me where you're going with that. I mean,
I'll tell you exactly where I'm going. I want to know. I mean, I really don't know. Are we to assume that this is the GM's call? It's not the manager's call, right?
No.
Okay. Does Dave Dombrowski give a damn about the Red Sox future?
No.
I don't think he does.
No.
And that's why I look at this and wonder, why is he making this call? Is he even going to be here? I do. I wonder that.
He's been trying to justify Tyler Thornburg for three years.
I wonder about Dave Dombrowski's contract status. I wonder about his future here. I wonder how invested he is in the future here. And when you start making decisions like this one on Nathan Eovaldi to just throw all caution to the wind and make him the closer when he's coming back off another elbow surgery, I immediately think, what is Dave Dombrowski's investment level in the future of this team? Because if you start doing things like that, I start to wonder about what you care about the 2020 or 2021 Red Sox or 2022 Red Sox. Because if they are to win, you know, with this group, which we've all said has sort of a shelf life given the contract status of a lot of the players involved here, and they've even surprised us being able to lock up Xander Bogaerts the way they have and lock up Chris Sale before the start of the season this year. I mean, there have been some surprises here.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just wonder, like, what's his deal? What's his contract status?
His deal is win now.
And that's always been sort of his deal. And is he in it for the long haul?
No.
Is Dave Dombrowski in it in Boston for the long haul?
No.
And when I see a decision like this, I wonder.
He's almost as old as I am. He's got his money. He's got a World Series. He's won two World Series now. This will be his chance for a third this year or next. And then see you later. And again, go back and look at the 2013 Tigers, the team that should have won the World Series that year. They had Scherzer. They had Verlander. They were a wagon. And the Red Sox beat them because they had no bullpen, because David Ortiz hit the home run off whatever that guy's name was in the 5-1 game in game two. Changed everything. So, you know, this is his history. This is who he is. You're seeing the last of his great teams here now and what they look like. Just hope they don't look like the Tigers in a few years.
Right. Nathan Eovaldi, who does not want to be a closer, is being asked to close.
Yep.
On record, does not want to close, will be the closer. And he's coming off his second elbow surgery in as many seasons.
And he's had two Tommy Johns.
Terrific. Great call. Awesome decision.
I mean,
how does anyone like that? How does anyone hear that and say, that's a great call? That's a really a smart call.
This goes
call.
Back.
That's a great decision.
I went and resurrected the March quotes when I talked to Dave about this in March, because I'm like, you know, you lost Kimbrel and Kelly, you know, understood, but where's the replacements? And there never were any.
Well, John Henry says they brought back the same team.
They hit on Brazier last year, so there's the notion that they can do that again. And they have all these 4A, AAA arms in the bullpen that aren't major league arms. I mean, it's not just a closer they need or a starter they need. They need major league arms, because Barnes is worn out, Brazier's worn out, and it's just they're scoring a ton, we know, but they're giving up a ton, and they're going to start playing good teams again. They have a succession of Dodgers, Rays, and Yankees when they come back from this thing. It's not going to be the friendly Detroit Tigers throwing the ball over the catcher's head again. You know, sorry, Hardy.
No, it's fine.
They're a disgrace.
They're a disgrace.
I didn't have a problem with it initially until you start looking at all the other factors, which is, number one, the fact that he doesn't want to do it.
Just,
and I don't know how guys, forced into positions like that.
Yeah.
You know, there are very few guys, you know, Tim Wakefields in the world where it's like, okay, it's not really what I do, but I'll go do it.
Yeah.
And there's also that, you know, that nagging thing probably in the back of his head where it's like, well, this isn't the best thing for me. Yeah. And I already did a ton for this team last year, which helped win a World Series, even though that game where he came in relief, a lot of people conveniently forget they lost the game.
Yes.
So it really didn't even matter. So, but that's got a nag at him too. It's like, I could go do all this and it may not make a difference. It may not make a difference for this team this year, which is another real, I guess, chink in the armor when you're talking about having motivation to go do something for this club. I understand them wanting desperately to do something and not wanting to trade away any of the pieces, because who knows? Who knows what could really be the ultimate downfall of this team right now? Not doing anything with the bullpen? Yep, that could definitely be it. But if you take away one or two pieces as part of a trade deal, that could end up being the one or two things that were really helping keep this thing together for whatever little bit that it's being held together right now. If you trade those things away, well, then you've gone and tanked the season anyway.
Well, it's starting to become dangerously, that they might not make the playoffs. I think it's a 22% chance.
They're teetering here,
which is not good. They need to catch Tampa and the Indians, who are now like 12 over. They're 8 over. The Indians are the Indians, but the Indians had this weird surge. They're only 5 games behind the Twins now, and they're motivated and they're playing well. And Tito, as we know, is the master of the universe. So how they're doing it, I don't know. A million things have happened to that team as well. But all of a sudden, you've got to stay ahead of the bums from Texas and Oakland, and somehow pass either Cleveland or Tampa, who are both, Tampa's 7 ahead of you, and Cleveland's, I guess, 2 ahead of you. So, easily done. But they're going to start playing good teams again. The Tigers and Jays are in the rearview mirror for a while.
All we keep hearing is that they got to play better.
Yeah.
We've got to play better. And I feel that when they have a good little run, when they win 4 in a row going into the break, they say, see, here it is. We're playing better. Uh-huh. Everything's okay. And they fall into this trap of thinking that their issues are solved because they are playing better and they're not going to truly address their needs, which is that bullpen. And they're trying to address the needs with guys and
they
fixes.
They almost blew a 7-0
like
lead
Evaldi
in Detroit. I mean, they had huge leads in all those games because the offense is just, again, they're hitting against the Tigers. They're just killing it.
Zach Wheeler. Why Zach Wheeler fits the bill of what the Red Sox will be after in the trade market. I want to read you something about his injury history. He's going into free agency. We'll talk about that. Zach Wheeler as a target for the Red Sox, and we'll get to your call. So see you waiting. 617-779-0985. Couple open phone lines as well. Here are the headlines with Tim McCone.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times.
Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
And LeMahieu strikes out. 2-2 coming. And he struck him out with a changeup. 3-2 coming. And LeMahieu strikes out on the fastball. And he does it again. And Sanchez chases the curveball. There's the curve you were talking about. 3-2. And Encarnacion chases. And he struck him out with the curveball. 1-1 to Encarnacion. And a check swing roller past the mound. Alonso will field. And Wheeler gets over to cover. And that retires the side. And he strikes him out. Another terrific start for Zach. He allows just 2 hits over 6 1/3.
Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe is with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. Hardy and Pizzou. The Red Sox are reportedly talking to the Mets about pulling off a trade for Zach Wheeler. No word on what the Red Sox will be giving up in that potential deal. Dan, what's the upcharge on ERAs in the National League to the American League now? What do we charge a guy? Half a run still? Do we still go for a half a run more when we go over to the American
League?
That
sounds about right.
About right?
Yeah.
So Zach Wheeler this year is 6-6 with an ERA of 4.69. So we're going to bump that up to an ERA over 5 in the American League. That fair?
Okay.
Okay. Career-wise for him, he's had some injury problems. Zach Wheeler. Zach Wheeler, you want to see something?
Well, I'm just looking at you over your shoulder there.
Oh, what would you like to see? What stat you looking for?
How many games he was starting? You know, he was always kind of the fifth guy. That's how I remember him.
Well, he's had injuries that he's dealt with in his career. Yeah. He came up in 2013 when at the age of 23 years old. That was the year that he made his debut. He made 17 starts that year, pitching 100 innings. And then his first full year in the majors, he made 32 starts, 185 and a third innings. Didn't make it to 200 innings that year. Had an ERA of 3.54. Pretty good. Good year, 11-11. Playing on a bad Mets team because the Mets always suck. And then he got hurt. Had to go and have Tommy John. He missed both 2015 and 2016. Let me read you a story from last year on Zach Wheeler.
Sure.
From ESPN, before the start of last season. Mets starting pitcher Zach Wheeler has undergone a series of injections to get back to full health following a stress reaction in his right arm that cut his 2017 season short. Wheeler has been using prescription medicine for Tio in an effort to strengthen the bone. Quote, you do a shot in your stomach every day for 6 months. It's not fun, but you got to do it. They give it to people with brittle bones, osteoporosis. My arm feels great. I've been on the mound 6 times now, so if this helps me get to 30 starts, I'm all for it. That's what he said going into 2018. He made 29 starts, so he got close. Close to 30 starts, pretty good. 27 years old going into last year. He had Tommy John surgery in 2016, made one minor league appearance that August, and then returned to the Mets last spring. This going back again to 2017. Made 17 starts, 3-7, 5.21 ERA. Then he had biceps tendonitis. He's had just a long list of injuries before he then came back and had the elbow issue.
We don't care about this.
He's been unreliable.
It doesn't
matter. He's been hurt.
I'm only looking for like 3 months of this.
And now he's going into free agency. So he's a guy who's damaged goods.
Right.
And he's going into free agency.
He won't be your problem.
Which is why he fits the bill.
Right.
Right now.
Oh, absolutely.
He's pitching. He's healthy enough to go out to the mound, and he's made 19 starts, and right now, this given moment, doesn't have any issues, so it's exactly why the Red Sox are after him.
Right.
That's why. I'm just giving you the background. He's got injury problems, which is why he's available, and he probably doesn't have a future with the Mets because they're not going to bring him back, which is why they're looking to dump him.
The guy they should be getting is the Detroit guy, Shane Green. That's the guy they should be getting. And then you put Eovaldi in the rotation.
But Shane Green is not sucky, middle-of-the-road guy with injury problems who will come cheap.
I understand. And they have little to offer.
That's why they're going after Zach Wheeler. Zach Wheeler probably isn't going to cost anything.
No.
Who the hell wants Zach Wheeler? Oh, no. Some fifth starter who's got an ERA over 5 who is always hurt? He's exactly why that's why I'm telling you. You said no one cares. I'm just giving you the background.
Okay,
but he's got a million injuries.
What you were saying,
he's missed multiple years of his career.
I thought you were like painting a picture of like why would you want this guy?
No.
You
know? I'm telling you why he's available.
Right.
The Mets don't even want him anymore. No. They're like, we're not.
Well, their season's over.
We're not bringing this guy back after this year is over. He's hitting free agency.
Yep.
He's had a million injuries. He's missed multiple full seasons.
Yep.
He's not even 30 yet. And we'll dump him for something. What do you got?
Well,
we'll give him up. Yeah, player to be named later.
Bag of balls.
Right. And that's where it just gives you an idea of where the Red Sox are shopping.
And that they have nothing to offer, which is why they can't get Shane Green, because you would have to give up prospects.
Which they don't want to do.
No. And they don't have.
I was going to say they don't have. It goes back to the Dombrowski situation where it's like, he's already started not thinking about this team for the future, prospect-wise. There's not a lot there.
Oh, he's already rated them in the
right. This would be the year to go get that. Remember when they got that guy that threw side? Was it Ziegler? What was his name?
Brad Ziegler?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, that's who you need right now. You need that guy to come in and be your closer, whatever, to stagger down the stretch and put Eovaldi in the rotation. Eovaldi should be doing the Wheeler job. That's what I'm saying.
I don't disagree with that. I think Eovaldi going to the bullpen is a terrible idea.
Yeah, this is not going to. And if they don't make the playoffs, this is really going to be a wasted year. I mean, again, a team with a closing window, with all this payroll stuff coming up, with no farm system, you know, just getting creaky around the edges. With I mean, Porcello's gone at the end of the year, right? You know, we know that this is it for him.
Mm-hmm.
The J.D. Martinez thing, I don't know if you saw any of his.
We're going to get to that.
Wow.
We're going to get to that.
Wasn't good.
Steve is in Boston. Hey, Steve.
Hey, what's up, guys? So I just want to lead off with some positive news. I got to give credit to David Price. I mean, we love to rip the guy and get all over him and whatever, but he's been fantastic. Rafael Devers also has been fantastic. So now that I got the positives out of the way,
that's good.
This team, I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean, this team, man, they're shopping where I shop when I go to buy stuff and I, you know, I don't have a great job. So they make so much money, man. I don't want to hear about, they don't want to spend anymore. Like, unless they're going to start giving us half-price beers and half-price parking, they better get us a damn closer so Eovaldi can do what he was brought here for. And this guy with the two robot arms, man, please. Have a good day, guys.
Okay. I'm taking from that call that Steve didn't appreciate John Henry's comments about his budget last week.
Wow.
That it was all about how you did just.
I tried to follow up on that.
What?
I sent him an email asking
him. Oh, he didn't answer you?
No.
Ask him about the bullpen, because in all of the words he used last week in speaking to Rob Bradford, he never once used the word bullpen.
No, he did not.
Bullpen has been the thing that has been on the mind, has been on the minds of every Red Sox fan that watches the games every night and pays attention to the team, right? The people that pay the bills for the Red Sox, the people that go to the games, that invest the time and the money and follow the team. The thing at the forefront has been the bullpen. Not once in all of those comments did the word bullpen come out of his mouth. I find that to be a borderline disgraceful. Well, and at the very least, it's not being accountable to what is going on with your team.
We don't know exactly what was asked. I mean, Bradford was just supplying the answers. So, I mean, I don't know if he said.
Dan, I don't know how it's possible to speak at length the way he did and not mention it.
Well, maybe that was the question. Maybe the question, what are you going to do about this bullpen? And he said, well, it depends on if you want to lose more money. You know, maybe that's how he answered.
Oh, you're letting him off the hook, man.
Well, I emailed him to ask, no, excuse me, are we to infer from this that you're losing money?
He also said that they brought, okay.
I thought that was a good question.
How dire is it?
Let me at least say this. He said in those quotes that they brought back the same team.
Yes.
That is just factually incorrect. That's not truth. That's not truthful. That's a lie.
Wow.
They did not bring back the same team. They brought back most of the same team, right, minus the back end of the bullpen.
Right. Kimbrel and Kelly.
Don't tell me you brought back the same team. You did not bring back the same team.
Well, mostly it was the same team. You should have put mostly in there.
You can't not bring back the closer minus other bullpen pieces. And the one issue we point to is the issue with the team that you need to fix being the bullpen. That you need to spend the money on to fix the team being the bullpen. We're not saying you got to go out and add to the rotation. We're not saying you got to go out and add to your lineup. All sitting here talking about you got to fix your bullpen.
Well,
and that's the one place where you lost guys from a year ago. So I think that's sort of pertinent to the conversation.
If you want to nitpick over, Steve.
That's not a nitpick, Dan. Dan, that is front and center. That is right in the heart of the conversation. That is not nitpicking.
I'll just parse over every word.
When did you become a John Henry apologist?
I'm messing with you now, Beetle. I mean, you know, I think.
Unbelievable, Dan. I thought you'd be on my side on this. That is not nitpicking.
Being so literal, Beetle.
Oh, unbelievable, Dan. Yeah, this guy has skated for a week on these comments. Where the hell has everybody been on these comments?
I called him. I emailed him. I asked him.
I can't believe it. The guy never speaks. We never hear from owners really on anything directly related to their teams anymore. This guy talks. He skated for a week on this. You know what? I think it might just be the state of the Red Sox that people don't care as much anymore. It's got to be what it is. I can't believe it. I can't believe that he skated on those comments for the last week. Maybe it's because it's middle of July and things are slow.
I tried, Beetle.
Try harder.
Skate with me.
617-779-0985. The bullpen is the story.
Yeah, I wrote all about it.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, Zoe, and the Beetle. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zo and Bertrand.
Let's get some of your Red Sox calls. We'll also talk about J.D. Martinez coming up. You'll hear from him. Adam's in Lowell. Adam.
Hey, Beetle. I think we're being a little selfish asking for some bullpen help. I mean, Henry would have to dig into all the money he made from that nifty little London trip. Sleeping scumbag. Thanks, guys.
Oh, that was strong.
Oh,
very strong. Well, they're losing a lot of money over there, as he said.
That's strong enough for you, Beetle.
He said it's, I like that. I like Adam in Lowell's fire. Glad someone's getting fired up about those ridiculous comments about how much money they're losing. Listen, it's never a good idea as an owner to start talking about the money you're losing, about when you own the Red Sox and it's about the money you're losing. I mean, oof, bad idea. Wouldn't you agree, Dan?
That's why I wrote about it on Sunday. And I said, am I reading this correctly? And does it include the Nesson revenues? I mean, I was surprised to read that. If the Red Sox are losing money, how's everybody else doing? I mean, I know they have the highest payroll, and granted, but man, their revenues are good.
Sean Henry's quote again, if you missed this last week, he talked to Rob Bradford after the London series or before the final game in London. It's not a luxury tax issue. It's a question of how much money do we want to lose?
Yeah, you think that means that they're in fact losing money?
Oh, poor baby. Oh, how much are you losing, John? How hard is it to be Red Sox owner? How much money are you losing? You know, I would have... Unbelievable. The balls on some of these owners.
That jumped out at me.
How much money do we want to lose? It's more like, you know, how much money do I not want to make? Right? I'm scheduled to make X amount of millions. How many fewer millions do I want to make?
I want him to have as many millions as possible.
Right? I want to have more millions. So... Yeah, the bullpen. Sorry about the bullpen. You know, I got my millions. You know, I got to get my millions. We're already over budget, and we were substantially over budget last year and this year. We're not going to be looking to add a lot of payroll, and it's hard to imagine fielding a better team. That quote drives me up a wall. It's hard to imagine fielding a better team. Not really. I actually can imagine it quite easily. I can imagine them going out at the deadline and making some deals, and I can imagine them having a better team on August 1st than they have today.
You go nitpicking every word again.
No, that's just reading what he said. Dan Shaughnessy, John Henry apologist, sucking up to the boss at the Boston Globe.
Don't you think Beatles be a little harsh here?
He's sucking up to his owner, to his master at the Boston Globe, hey, bowing down.
No, I email him like, John, this presents as if you're losing money. Am I reading this correctly? And does it include the...
That went unanswered?
Yes, thus far. Let me go check.
I bet Michael Silverman would get an answer.
Check my email. Yeah, it's still nothing.
If Michael Silverman emailed him on that, he'd get an answer. Silverman gets his emails answered.
Perhaps.
Scott's in Maine. Scott.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Just a quick comment. But, you know, this is about the Sox we're talking about now. But all these teams do it. As businessmen, you think these guys would realize when he's saying something like that, as a fan, I stand back and go, okay, then I'm not going to take your team seriously for the rest of the year. So I make decisions because I have to count my pennies. So if I'm going to spend money for tickets or go for a cabin on a lake somewhere, I'm going to make that choice because I can watch the game on TV if they're not trying that hard. You know what I mean? And all the teams do it. They were doing it. The Celtics were doing it. If they'd have kept Kyrie, I would have said the same thing. Next year's kind of a write-off. I'm just going to watch them from a distance. But if they make the moves,
that's a bad comparison. The Celtics are above and over what they're allowed to spend. Like that's a capped league where they can't keep spending because the league stops them from spending.
But Beetle, not to keep carrying John Henry's water here, but the Red Sox do have the highest payroll in baseball. I mean, you can't punish them for that.
Are they not allowed to go out and get a closer in the offseason?
They are allowed to do that.
Or was anyone stopping them from doing it?
There was not.
Okay. I'm just checking. Okay. Are there rules preventing them from getting a closer?
No.
Why do they have the highest payroll in baseball?
I don't know. Effort to win, I suppose.
Is all of their current payroll current players on their roster?
I'm not sure.
Just curious.
I'm not sure if Ruzne Castillo counts toward that.
Well, he doesn't. But I'm just
Pablo
wondering.
Sandoval,
yeah, is Pablo Sandoval on the team right now?
Mismanagement could have something to do with it.
Thank you. Their mismanagement, right. Their previous decisions are what led to them having the highest payroll. So you can't put all of the, we have the highest payroll. Yeah, some of that is your bad decision-making. That's not because all of a sudden fair. You've put the best roster and you're paying the most for the current team that goes out there and plays every day.
That's fair.
Yeah, your previous mismanagement is what has gone out and done that. It's not our fault. How's that Chris Sale signing looking, by the way?
Hey.
That one looking good so far?
I was on that from the jump, man.
That comment by itself kind of smacked of him throwing other guys under the bus. When I first read that, and he said, look, you know, he's saying the money is there. You know, there's value there. I can't imagine feeling, but when I first read that to me sounded like he was saying, I can't imagine spending more money. These guys have already spent more money than anyone else in baseball. How can it be better? He's almost playing dumb, like, I don't know about the baseball. That's why I hire guys to take care of all these baseball decisions for me. And they tell me we need to spend this amount of money on this player to get this job done. So I can't imagine spending more and having it, you know, be any better because we've already spent more than anyone else. And it's obviously not about the money. So, yeah. He says, I can't imagine feeling a better team. Well, then you lack imagination. All you really need to do is imagine a bullpen that doesn't throw games away, and then, boom, there you go. It materializes right there in front of you. But from just a business owner's standpoint, from a bottom line, how much money am I spending and according to the people who make these decisions for me, the people that I pay to make these decisions, I don't understand.
That would be Dave Dombrowski then.
Right.
What's his future here?
Well,
keeps coming back to that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
What's his future here?
When is his contract up?
I'd love to know.
Oh, that's information. That's
a valuable question.
This year or next.
It's got to be soon.
Yeah.
What is Dave Dombrowski's contract status? Is he...
baseball boss for life.
Is he invested in the future of the team?
No. No, that's...
his deal runs through 2020.
Okay, through next year. There you go. Mm-hmm. And they'll be competitive through 2020.
Does he care about it after that?
I don't think 2021 is on his mind.
Nope. Doesn't appear that way when he's ready to blow up Nathan Eovaldi's arm by making him the closer. Yeah, go out there and just be the closer. It's $17 million bucks a year.
Go throw 100 again. You can do it.
Yeah, you can do it, buddy. I have faith in you. Go for it. Like, if you're going to spend $17 million on a closer, you could have skipped on signing Nathan Eovaldi back. You could have shopped for a closer.
Could have re-signed a guy you had.
You could have, or you could have, you know, there were some other options out there. They weren't a ton, but there were some.
And I wasn't in favor of that, by no means.
Right. 617-779-0985. J.D. Martinez spoke about his player options that are coming up.
Yeah, I don't think he's
his opt-outs.
2021 here either.
You thought it was bad, what he said.
I thought it was... I thought it got worse at the end.
Okay, we'll hear it. We have the sound of J.D. Martinez talking about that. You'll hear it right after the headlines. No commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.